My name is John Davis. Today is Monday the 20th of May 2013, and I am about to interview Mr. Roger Beard. Roger, would you please introduce yourself and tell me when and where you were born?
Yes, John. My name is Roger Beard. I was born in Ruardeen on the 25th of June 1941. Ruardeen being a village in the Forest of Dean about 15 miles west of Gloucester.
Which years did you work at Fielding and Platt, Roger?
I started at Fielding and Platt in 1957. I had a few breaks of service and finally left in 1999. My breaks in service were, I left in about 1969 until 1972 to join an electrical engineering company. I left again due to redundancy in about 1982, but came back as managing director in 1986. So I guess my total year's service was about 35.
Okay, so you finished up as managing director, Roger. So first of all, then, can we go back to the beginning of the story? How did you first learn about Fielding and Platt?
Well, I first learned about Fielding and Platt when I was at the Forest of Dean Mining and Technical College. We were looking for apprenticeships, a good number of us, and that's how I first knew of Fielding and Platt.
So you applied for an apprenticeship then. Do you remember anything at all about the interview? For instance, who interviewed you and the questions you were asked, etc.?
Well, I can't remember too much detail about the interview, but I can remember two of the personnel guys that did interview me. One being Mr. Harold Shenton and the other Geoffrey Morton. The questions they asked were pretty general as far as I remember, but I do remember they commented on my handwriting, which I didn't think was particularly good, but they obviously did.
Okay, so obviously you were accepted. When did you start and at what age would you have been then?
Well, I started my apprenticeship at the age of 16, and the day of starting was the 26th of August, 1957.
So I think you've answered my next question about it was at school, then you were directed towards a career in engineering. So going on a little bit further then, Roger, how did you travel to work? Can you recall any interesting sights along the way? Other factories, shops, railways, for example?
Well, in the Forest of Dean, there weren't too many railways. But I travelled to work by bus, leaving home in Ruardeen at 6:15 in the morning. My route was fairly torturous. I left Ruardeen, went through Drybrook, through Cinderford, Elton Corner, Westbury, and so on into Gloucester. It was a beautiful route going alongside the River Severn. And it emphasised, of course, the four seasons of the year. The bus I went on was a works bus, which was destined for Gloucester Wagon Works, which was just down the road from Fielding's. So I was fortunate to have a direct route into the company with no changes.
Okay, so you've arrived. How did you feel when you entered the factory for the first time? Can you tell me about the sights, the smells, the noise, for instance?
Well, I suppose when I went to the clock-in area, my first impression was that it was an awesome building, although I'd been there before for a look around. But it was an awesome size. And the smell of cutting oil hit me straight away. And there were, of course, high-pitched noises, which I didn't recognise at that time. But at 7:30 in the morning, I really didn't know what to expect on my first day. So it was an experience, to say the least.
Can you remember what were the working hours, Roger, when you started? And did you have to clock in, for instance?
Well, I do, because I have recently looked over some of my old Fielding and Platt documents, and my working hours were 44 per week. Clocking in was an experience, of course, because we had a chap who many of us will remember called Charlie McGarriger. He was looking out of the time office for latecomers. Not a pleasant experience for a 16-year-old to be sort of really watched to the clocking machine. Clocking out, that was okay. You just joined a queue. and it was just then a run to catch Cottrell's bus home to the Forest of Dean. But if you missed that bus, you didn't get home until about 9 or 10 o'clock at night.
Can you remember your first week's wage all those years ago?
Yes, I can. It was, and this is in old monies, 55 shillings and 8 pence for 44 hours. And most of that money went on my bus fare.
Not much to paint the town with after that, then. Can you take me through the stages of your apprenticeship, Roger? I mean, for instance, do you remember any of your fellow apprentices along the way?
Well, I guess that we fielding apprentices all started in the craft school, learning to operate machines safely. But the big thing was that rough block of steel, which had to be hammered, chiseled, filed and scraped to a perfect square. It learnt you quickly to respect the damage a hammer could do to your knuckles. And I can say that I still have some of the scars today. Some of the apprentices that I remember who were there with me on that first day was Terry Cooper, Alan Baker, Barry Evans, Ivan Donaldson, and I'm sure there are others if I could have a few minutes to think of them. But anyway, those were the ones that I remember mostly. After the year in the craft school, I was assigned to some time in the light machine shop, where my foreman was one Reg Court, a name that many of us remember. An absolutely fantastic machinist he was, but also prepared to pass on his skills. It's a good time in the light machine shop, and you learn some worldly skills, like if you produced a scrapper, and we often did, well, not too often in latter times, the railway line was just outside the window at the end of the shop, and the railway carts were used as a dumping ground for many of these would-be scrappers. And where the scrap material ended up, I do not know, but it went off in railway carriages. I then went into the electrical department with Ken Hudson, Brian Billingham, John Tranter and Ron Curtis. And this actually focused where I wanted to go after my apprenticeship.
During that time, Roger, was attendance at technical college a requirement of your apprenticeship? If so, could you tell me where you studied and what subjects and achievements you attained?
Yes, attending technical college was a requirement. And I attended and continued to attend the Forest of Dean Technical College in Cinderford. And I studied there for ordinary and higher national certificates in both electrical and mechanical engineering. And I think I was fairly fortunate in as much that by the age of about 23, I had a higher national certificate in electrical engineering and a higher national certificate in mechanical engineering.
I don't think many people can say that, Roger. Just going on a slightly different subject for a moment, can you remember the catering facilities at Fielding and Platt? What lunches, mid-session breaks, etc.?
Yes, I can remember a little bit about that. The facilities were pretty good, as I remember, particularly the pasties and the sausage rolls that came around on the tea trolley. That came round in the morning with those on, and then in the afternoon came round with some cakes. I didn't often have lunch in the canteen in early years because this was a time either to study or to walk up to the cross and watch the world go by.
During that time of your apprenticeship, Roger, how about sports and social activities? Did you participate in any of those, or living such a long way away, did that affect anything?
Well, sports and social activities, usually during apprenticeship years, were football or ball game down on the sports ground at Sudmeadow Road. It was not usually, or it was not unusual in the fog, which often came down at Sudmeadow, just to take an early bath and leave without our tutor knowing. We didn't have any health and safety rules in those days, so we were able to be a little bit mischievous as apprentices and take an early return home. The only other activity I took part in socially was the Lily White Skittles team with Brian Billingham and, of course, you, John.
Have you any photographs or documents relating to the time, that time period that you could show me, Roger?
Yes, I do have a couple of documents that I can show you, John. One is my legal contract, which was signed by my parents before I could start at Fearing and Platt. And the other one is my signed indentures. I don't have too many pictures because most of those are in the archives. And the apprentice intakes, they were always photographed by one Brian Mintz or his colleagues. And I think I've identified people on my intake pretty well, and such that everybody in the picture is known.